going to be ministering to England in a minute. And from what I've seen on the news, they need it. That was a cheap shot. We're recording now. I need to apologize to the congregation because the last few weeks, things have not been quite the way I would like them to be. And I was doing my research and was recapping, and I realized somehow I really messed up on the numbering of the series, and to the point that Eleanor had to phone me this morning and ask, what's it supposed to be? Because I had it all messed up, and I don't know how that happened. So this is the time of the Gentiles. This is part four of that one session, but this is the seventh in this series on learning about the end times. Because the clock is running down, folks. And I'm not talking about noon to England. I'm talking about in Genesis, he says, my spirit will not always abide with man. There's a time, just like with the ark. The door and the window were shut and sealed by God. You know, I posted something earlier this week. I had more responses to that than I've had to anything. You know, when one door closes, another door opens. When one door closes, another door opens. When one door closes, another door opens. And that's my Christmas candy calendar. I had more responses to that. But can I tell you something, folks? There's coming a time, just like with the ark, where God will shut the door and you won't be able to open it. We need to understand that. This is very serious. This will be the last until the new year. Then we're going to go to the theme of the first advent, the first coming of Christ. That's the advent. I won't re-preach, but I'll preach the similar theme that I had done a couple of years ago about the wise men coming from the east. Where did they get that insight from? Well, let me tell you, my opinion is they got it from Daniel. Because he was the lead under four different kings for over 70 years in Babylon. And for us to assume that life is just going to continue the way it is not wise to the Word of God. So let's go to the introduction first. I want to remind you of what we have done so far. Back on October 22nd, I began by, do I recognize the signs and the seasons? The one thing I did share with my friend in the hospital the other day, I was able to assist the nurse and the sort of I carried in moving him from one room to another. And the way his bed was positioned, you see how size it doesn't even look like December the 2nd. You looked out in the fields and there's next to nothing out there. You know. In December, we usually expect more snow. Amen? We're so grateful England got it. We will get our fair share later. God expects us to recognize the signs. That's why I started doing this series. Because I had people coming to me saying, after the 7th of October and the attack by Hamas on Israel, I had people saying, where are we at? Where are we going? We need to recognize the signs. God promises blessings to those who do recognize the signs. If you can see the signs and say, listen, our time is short, God says, I'm going to bless you. And he'll turn your heart deeper into the Word of God. God wants his bride to be ready. Okay, and then on October the 29th, we talked about God's covenants in the end times. We looked at three covenants. We looked at the covenant with Abraham, which is these three covenants. All three of them are unconditional. By that, there was no requirement for the recipient to do anything to receive the covenant promise. It was all based on God. To the point that the covenant with Abraham, God knew that Abraham couldn't keep it, couldn't honor it. So usually a covenant was sealed with blood. The offerings were laid in a natural trough in the ground, and then God knocked Abraham out. Because Abraham's to receive, he didn't need to do. And then God went through the center of the offerings like a burning furnace and he consumed it. And God says, these things I will do. He established Israel as a nation. He established a Messiah from them. A king in Abraham. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. And the key with Abraham is Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. And you go to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, you discover the just shall live by faith. Okay, then we looked at briefly at the covenant with David. The significance there is, you know, again, it's an unconditional covenant. David blew it more than once. I read the life of David, and I think there's hope for me, you know. You know. But God said, I will establish your kingdom and your throne forever. Listen, I don't know what your personal understanding or position on Scripture is, but I believe that's true, and it's going to happen. And regardless of Hezbollah or Hamas or anything else, God is going to control and protect Israel, and he's going to return to Jerusalem. And that throne will be established forever. That's an unconditional promise given to David. And if that isn't true, none of this book is true. We got to deal with that. You know, some people say, well, you sound like you're pro-Israel. I'm pro-God. And if God says something and he says, that's the way it's going to be, I'm going to go with that. And if it offends somebody, they need to get into the book. Okay? And then the third unconditional covenant is the covenant that we're going to be remembering this morning, the covenant of the Father with you and I through the Son, that if we will accept him and receive him, we will enter into eternal life with him. Okay? And if for that covenant to be true, all his other unconditional covenants have to be true. The one with Abraham's got to be true. The one with David's got to be true. And if he can renege on those, he can renege on the covenant with us. But he won't. Amen? We need to understand that. We are secure in Christ. Jude 1. Where's Jordan? There you are. He was telling me this morning, he says, I went back and I listened to the first message on Jude, he says, because that was preached before he started to attend. And he honored me by saying that I got blessed by that. Well, praise God. You know, praise God. You know. Then on November the 5th, we looked at Now and Then. Isaiah 9, Micah 5, Psalm 2. You look at those specific portions of Scripture, there is prophecy that was given there that was fulfilled right then. But there's more yet to come. Okay, Isaiah, unto us a son is given. That's the Christmas season, right? But he's going to rule forever. That's going to happen yet. Same prophet, same verses. God's going to do this. Micah, old little town of Bethlehem. You know, it was fulfilled then, but it's still coming. You know? We looked at that, the importance. Why are the end times so important to us? Because throughout the Scripture, you see sometimes in this portion, the same verse is talking about something that had been fulfilled and is yet to be fulfilled. And then you can look at certain prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah, where through their writings, they gave prophecy that was fulfilled and yet other prophecies yet to be fulfilled. My point in that is simply saying this, folks. The prophecy regarding the first coming of Christ we're literally fulfilled. Literally fulfilled. We're going to receive communion here in a little bit. And it says, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again. It will literally be fulfilled. That's the whole point. Do you understand that in the Hebrew, the idea of prophecy wasn't so much words. It was pictures that were to be illustrated. He says, here's how I did this then. How do you think I'm going to do that which is future? He did it literally there. He's going to do it literally in the future. Amen? We need to understand that. We need to recognize those signs and know those signs. We talked about the time of the Gentiles. And to me, and I'm not dogmatic on this, but to me, my understanding of the time of the Gentiles really began first, most of you understand that Israel was 12 tribes, 13 in reality, but the Levites were removed from the inheritance. Their inheritance was the service of God. And then Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were each made a tribe, bringing us back to 12. But the northern, after the death of Solomon, there was a civil war, and 10 tribes to the north abandoned the call of God. And they got carried away into captivity by Assyria years before the southern two tribes were carried off into captivity by Babylon. And it is in that group that Daniel is carried away. That destruction of Israel at that time and being sent into captivity, to my understanding, opened up the time of the Gentiles. From that time to now, Israel has not held Jerusalem. It has been trod underfoot of the Gentiles to this day. But it's not going to stay that way. When is the time of the Gentiles going to be fulfilled? I don't know. But it's coming soon. You know, we need to be aware of that. We need to know and understand these things. And we looked at Daniel 2 and Daniel 7, and that's worthy of looking at again in your devotional time. Then we looked at Daniel's 70 weeks, the vision of the 70 weeks, the first 49 years, and then the second 434 years. We looked at that, and we're going to recap that in just a minute. And then November 26th, and boy, I'm messed up here. If you look at the bullet in the notes, and I didn't even check to see if Eleanor had caught my ear. I put it down as the 70 weeks. It's supposed to be the 70th week. I proofed it, and I didn't catch it until just Thursday. And in that 70th week, it talks about one who's to come. How did he make strong? How did this individual rise to power and become strong and make a covenant with many? And then in the midst of the week, break it. And I shared in the devotional the difference between a Antichrist and the Antichrist. Jesus said there are already now many Antichrists. You know? There are those who oppose Christ, but that's not characteristic of the Antichrist who comes with power, and that's going to him. Okay. And I was in some of my research, one of the scholars was asked, "Do you believe the Antichrist is present on Earth now?" And he said, "Yes." And he says, "If I was alive 100 years ago and you asked me that question, then I would have said yes." He says, "Now here's why, and I never thought of this before. No man knows the day or the hour of the return of Christ." Amen. Okay. Not even Lucifer. Which means throughout human history, from Daniel till now, his position of belief was that on the sidelines, Lucifer's always had an individual who is ready to arise as the Antichrist. Because not even Lucifer knew when it was going to happen. And I thought about that. Now, you know, there's some biblical foundation and logic to that. Lucifer doesn't know, but he's prepared. It's going to happen. Okay, so that takes us to this morning's devotional. And the theme this morning is God has appointed times. And I heard somebody praying today saying, you know, my mama's going to fly home on Wednesday. And I'm praying the flights will be delayed. There are appointed times that we can't do much about. Some that will never change. Point number one, an appointed time for the end of the captivity. Now, this isn't in reference to Daniel and the captivity with Babylon, but it lays a foundational stone. Exodus 12:41, at the end of 430 years, on that very day, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Okay? They were in Israel, or Israel was in Egypt, for 30 years as guests under Joseph, who became the, you know, second to Pharaoh, and 400 years as slaves. Genesis 15:13, in the covenant that God makes with Abraham, he says, your seed will be slaves for 400 years. And the thing that caught my attention was to the very day. God's got an appointed time. Okay? Now, in that line, Daniel 2. Now, are you in Daniel 9? You didn't ask us to be. Sorry. In the first year of Darius, the son of... I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that this morning. My voice won't let me. By descendant of Mede, was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, which is Babylon. And in the year of... in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books, he's referring to the scroll of Jeremiah, the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. He said, I became aware of this. And he starts to pray. And his prayer runs in Daniel 9 all the way to verse 19. And he's in prayer. He's praying. And then Gabriel comes and interrupts his prayer. And gives him information he didn't know before. You know? Now, why was it 70 years? Because Israel had failed to honor God in keeping the Sabbath years of rest for the land. They had not kept 70 sabbatical years. Okay? Second Chronicles. Okay? God says, every seventh year, you're to give the land rest. I lost Miranda. Okay. I didn't listen to it last night. I was tired, but I saw it. She posted a video, a thing on Facebook about, you know, if you're doing certain things and how to get your rest. We're appointed Sabbath rests. Okay? Now, it changes a little bit for Christians. You know, all you that are weak and weary, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and you will find rest. I got up early this morning, earlier than I've been up most of the week, and, you know, did a few things and got ready and, you know, made sure I had the computer for the Zoom and all those things. And I got, because I wanted to be here. I wanted to be here Friday night, but that wouldn't have been a good scene. You know, but I want to be here. This is my Sabbath rest. Being partnered, being yoked with the people of God, being yoked to God. There's a rest there. You know? So there was an appointed time, and he understood that Israel was to be in captivity. An appointed time for the birth of the Messiah. Now go to verse 20. Well, let's start at 24. 70 weeks are decreed about your people and about your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Question, has that happened? I'm looking for everlasting righteousness. It hasn't happened yet. It's coming. Okay? But the start of it is the 70 weeks. And it will culminate at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. To seal both the vision and the prophet, and to anoint a most holy place, which Scripture continually points to is going to be in Jerusalem. I don't care what people out there say. The Bible says that's where it's going to be. Okay? Know therefore and understand. I don't know how the Living Translation words it. You know, that was done by a guy named Taylor. That's good, yeah. I would suspect that the Living Translation probably says something like this. Dummy up and listen. Yeah. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and build Jerusalem to the coming of the anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then 62 weeks. Now we're at 69 weeks. Okay, you add those two together. And it shall be built again with squares and a mold, but in a troubled time. Is that still true today? It's still true today. If you look at pictures of various places in Israel prior to 1948, it was desolate. It was a shame. But you look at where it is today. He's made the desert bloom. Okay? You know, the blessing of God is there. And after 62 weeks, an anointed one shall be cut off and have nothing. Okay, I want to pause there. Okay. Does it make sense to you that for an anointed one to be cut off, he first had to be there? Hello? You know? Like if something's going to be cut off, it's first got to be there. Okay? And appointed time for the birth of the Messiah. For the Messiah to be cut off, he first had to be here. And that's what all of prophecy pertaining to the first advent is all about, saying, this is the one. This is the one. And after the 62 weeks, and if you look at some of the other translations, it says the anointed. Some of the other translations don't say anointed, they say Messiah. After 62 weeks, the Messiah, one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Are we in that right now? Okay. Messiah was born, but he was cut off. He can't be cut off except he first be here. Next slide. Is it reasonable to say that before Messiah could be cut off, Messiah first must be present? Is that a reasonable deduction? Okay, thank you. We got one that raised their hand. I saw that hand. Yeah. Galatians 4, 4 to 6, but when the fullness of time had come, God has appointed times. Israel came out of Egypt to the day. There was a day that the Messiah was to be born. God had to come as man in order to be cut off. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy God. Okay? But there was an appointed time for that. It wasn't a random time. You know? Well, do you think that the 25th of December is the time that Jesus is born? I don't know. I don't care. What I care about is that we declare he came. He was born. If we got that date wrong, God isn't concerned about that. He wants us to know, Listen, this really happened. It's not a fairy tale or wishful thinking. It was the reality of prophecy coming into fullness, and it was done at the fullness of time. It was the right time. No better time. Okay? An appointed time for the Messiah to be cut off. In my research, and I had a fair bit of, because I was instructed to take time off and let the medication start to do its job, I discovered something. Sir Robert Anderson, in his 1894 book entitled The Coming Christ, Coming Prince, gives his detailed calculation of Daniel's 70 weeks. And I only capsulize them, like it's extensive stuff. He was an inspector with the London Metropolitan Police Force, which later became better known as Scotland Yard. This guy is no slouch. That's why they knighted him. Okay. He goes back, taking March 14th, B.C., 444 B.C., which was the approximate date by many scholars, but he nails it down as the date that Artaxerxes, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, gives authority. Now, they replaced the Babylonians, gave authority for Nehemiah to go and rebuild the city walls. Okay, and what I find amusing about this is he was the cupbearer to the king, Nehemiah. Okay, which is a trusted confidant position. Because if you're the king, and you know not everybody may like you, then you got me to taste the drink and taste the food first. And if I die, you don't eat it. Okay, this is a trusted position. He says, "I appointed the king a period of time." You don't discover until near the end in the book of Nehemiah. He was away for 12 years. Okay. Okay. He calculated in a very detailed manner. He was an inspector of Scotland Yard. The number of days to Messiah being cut off is 173,880 days. He had to allow for the adjustment in calendars because the Jewish calendar was 360 days and ours is 365, and you count for leap years and all kinds of stuff. It was a very detailed calculation. Next. Sir Anderson had calculated the Passion Week of Christ and his entry into Jerusalem as Nisan the 10th, that is April the 6th, A.D. 32. So what? I'll tell you what. You can't make this stuff up. To me, this is one of the absolute evidence that this book is the wholly inspired Word of God. This goes beyond any realm of chance or probability. This is the Word of God. Detailed, precise, not wishful thinking. This is the way it is. Okay? Mark 12:10. Have you not read the scripture that the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in his eyes. And they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them. So they left him and they went away. Okay, listen, when he entered in Jerusalem, they're singing Hosanna to the King. Okay, then what did they do? They rejected him. They said, crucify. And what Robert Anderson points out is that opened the door. You see, because the Jews were promised the Messiah, but in the covenant with Abraham, it said, in you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. This opened the door to you and I. I'm part Ukrainian and English, not Jewish. My wife is part Swede, Scandinavian, and Scot. You know, I got the better deal. I got Yorkshire pudding, roast beef, and cabbage rolls. Okay? She got haggis, oatmeal and suet stuffed in a lamb's stomach, and lutefisk, cod cured in lye. I got the better deal. Yeah. Right? Yeah. That opened the door for Gentiles to come in. There are some Bible scholars that think at the human level, if Israel had accepted Jesus as the Messiah then, we wouldn't have had entrance. No, that's just at the human level. But you were known in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Are you Jewish? No. But he saw you. He knew you. He knew you'd hear the gospel. He knew you'd respond. The provision was made, but it required Israel to reject the Messiah as king and call out, crucify. That by his shed blood, our sins were removed. And Paul says in Romans 16, he tells us, I'm a debtor to the Jew first and to the Gentile also. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay. That rejection. Okay. Then he goes on. He says the person would come that would destroy Jerusalem. It was the 10th legion of Rome that destroyed the city. A legion of 5,000. Known as Lego ex Fraternus, or the 10th Legion of the State of the Strait, founded by Julius Caesar or Augustus, or when they're not quite clear, and comprised of 5,000 soldiers that destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. Okay? Jerusalem is still continuing. Okay, it was rebuilt by Nehemiah, but now it's destroyed again. It's still being trod underfoot. This is still the time of the Gentiles. Not all were Romans. As Rome had a conscription policy, many of the 5,000 were apparently Syrian. Some Bible scholars suggest that the Antichrist may come from the Middle East. I was trained in the old classical way that could be Rome or part of the Roman Empire. But there are many that are looking at this and they're looking at Scripture with fresh eyes and fresh understanding and saying, you know, listen, the people of the prince that is to come, that destroyed, some of them were Assyrian. There's a good chance. And I'm looking at what's happening in the Middle East now. And you know, there are 80 nations of the world that are Muslim, and they're voting against Israel. This is at the UN the other day. You know? Well, do I know for sure where the Antichrist is coming from? No, neither do you. We have our pet leanings, but are they accurate? I don't know. But if it comes out of the Middle East, I'm not going to be surprised. I also won't be here, but okay, next. An appointed time for the period of the Gentiles to be fulfilled. Romans 11:25. Least you be wise in your own sight. I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the time of the Gentiles has come in. I'm watching eagerly to see a revival sweep through Israel. It'll be a turning of the tide. It'll be the preparation for the return of the king. Okay? Luke 21:24. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Well, PJ, when's that going to be? I don't know. Neither do you. There's no theologian that really can nail it down because, first off, I think if he got it right, God would change it just so the guy couldn't boast through eternity. You know? No man knows. I'm supposed to know the season. As part of the bride, I need to be prepared. I need to understand that these covenants will never be violated. The covenant with Abraham, the covenant with David, the covenant God makes with you and I. I need to understand that there are appointed times. The Messiah came at precisely the right time. Okay? Okay? And that the time of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. And I think we're on the cusp of it. That's my personal conviction. An appointed time for the physical return of the Messiah. You know, we're doing pretty good here. Okay? A little slow. What is the actual time? Okay. Okay, Acts 1. In the first book of Theophilus, what was the first book? That's the Gospel of Luke. Okay? I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up after he was given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. That verse always intrigues me. Jesus accepted commands from the Father. I better learn to. Amen? Yeah. I was praying intensely yesterday for my friend to have an anointing of the Holy Spirit that would just bring peace and conviction and understanding. Because no words that I speak could, but the Holy Spirit can do it. And we need, John, you need to hear God. You need to hear God. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Okay? You go to 1 Corinthians 15. If he has not risen from the dead, our faith is in vain. We're without hope. We're done. You know, we had a nice turkey meal on Friday night, but we're done. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. John, do you wait upon the Holy Spirit? Or do you just run and do your own thing? For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They had been with Jesus for 3 years, and they still, you know, and he's died on the cross, he's risen from the dead, and they still don't get it. They don't understand that he is building first a spiritual kingdom that's going to include the Gentiles, and it's going to go for a period of years until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, and then he's going to return. They didn't get it. And they're still looking for a king. They're still looking for someone to get them out of this mess. I said to somebody this morning, can't remember who it was. It might have been Tim, I'm not sure. I said, you know what this little pocket on jeans is for? That's for your paycheck after the taxes have been taken out. You know? That's all you're going to need. You know? The point is this, is they're looking for a king. They're looking for a better earthly rule. And so is the world. That's what's going to open the door for the Antichrist, because he's going to come in with proposals that to the natural man make sense. You know? Is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. Okay? Pastor, what do you think the date is? I got no idea. God does. But I know it's going to happen. And until then, he says, labor until that happens. Be about the Father's business. Don't be idle. Don't be casual. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times of the season the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. We're going to deal in the new year with harpazo, what we call the rapture. He was taken up. You know, in the Old Testament, there's probably 5 to 7 references to the rapture. Okay, here Jesus is taking them. And while they were gazing into heaven, as they went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him going into the heavens. He's coming again. I read the end of the book, and it says, even so, Lord Jesus, come. He's coming, and there's an appointed time. And you're not going to change it, and I'm not going to change it. God's got it sealed. They came out of Egypt to the day. 70 years were fulfilled. The time of the Gentiles, and it's going to be fulfilled. He's coming again. How do I know that? Because he came the first time. It wasn't an allegory. It was literal. This Jesus, this same Jesus, not one like him. He says, you know, he says, there's coming a day. There'll be many that say, I am the Christ. He says, don't go out and believe them. Don't. In fact, he warns us, don't be deceived. You know? Now go over to, excuse me, to Mark 13. I'm going the wrong direction. Go left, not right. Mark 13. Pardon? Oh. This is after the triumphal entry. Okay? And he came out of the temple. One of the disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? These will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. 70 AD. The 10th Roman Legion destroys Jerusalem, the temple. The only structure in Jerusalem that was left intact wasn't a building. It's what we call the Wailing Wall. It's the retaining wall holding up Temple Mount. Everything else was plowed. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus began to say to him, see that no one leads you astray. Don't be led astray. Who moved the clock? Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. They must take place, but the end is not yet. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're not praying for the end of hostility. We're praying for the return of King Jesus. There will be no peace until he comes. And us praying for peace in the Middle East right now, can I tell you the truth? God says it's not going to happen. He says these things must take place. If they don't take place, then God didn't see history. Okay? For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. But these are but the beginning of birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and they will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. You know, listen, is this before the cross or after the cross? It's after the triumphal entry. Okay, so it's before the cross, right? Okay, so who's he talking to? Is he talking to Christians or is he talking to Jews? Who said that? Jews. Church isn't born yet. The Jews have got to wake up and not be deceived. And they need to declare who the King of Kings is and who the Lord of Lords is. Amen? We should not be deceived. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to Zoom. And we're going to dedicate Teal. And my wife is going to take the baby because I don't want to get close to him. And I got news for you. Mom, you're coming up. And Beck has asked for, Beck and Chris have said, the elders and the deacons, and said, come on up. And I talked to Chris. Yeah, greet them.